Can I ask for the crowd here to sort of shift around a little bit? Is that okay? Is that going to be too cold for everybody? Will that be all right? I want to try to focus this way. All right. Good morning, everybody. Happy day after Yom Kippur. So here we are for Tashlich. First of all, just to clear up any conception or misconception, you can still do Tashlich now. It is ideal to do Tashlich on the afternoon of the first day of Rosh Hashanah.
Movie, I need my light. Thanks.
But in a pinch, we can continue to do Tashlich up until Hoshana Rabbah, which is the last day of Sukkot. This entire period of time, you thought we were done. Ha ha! This entire period is dedicated to repentance, to coming back, to being better and all of that. So it's not yet over. We say, Rosh Hashanah Tika Tevu U'Yom Tzom Kippur Techa Temu, that we are written on Rosh Hashanah, the book is then sealed on Yom Kippur, and we say that the letter is sent out on Hoshana Rabbah. So if you didn't get it done yet, you could still have a chance to chase after the postal worker and try to flag him down and try to get it back and try to, you know, rechange whatever might be in the envelope before you actually get sent out. Yes. Good question. Aliza asks, what if you're just too busy? I don't know what you'd be so busy with. This has been like, the past 2 weeks have been such a breeze. Plenty of time on our hands. No, I'm just joking. Of course, let's say your family came in. No, you're right, 100%. So after Hoshana Rabbah, we don't do it anymore. We could still do tshuva, or we could still be nice, and we still continue to grow throughout the year. Great question. But you don't do Tashlich anymore. What we have here, the title of the class or the half class, okay, is Tashlich, making our sins sleep with the fishes. What we're going to take a look at this morning is that there seems to be this really intense connection, not only between coming to a body of water for Tashlich, but specifically there is a notion of seeing live fish, which I believe we have in the pond or lake behind us. Specifically a notion of seeing live fish. If you were available and around for last week's class about the simanim, about all the different omens that we do in and around Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, foods that we eat on Rosh Hashanah, and the kaparos, the waving of the either chicken or the money that we perform on Yom Kippur, before Yom Kippur. So we took a look at two different approaches to why we do those things. That's all going to become very relevant for this morning. Just to take a look. So our first source comes from the Shulchan Aruch. This is really the Ramar of Moshe Isserles, who wrote Ashkenazic glosses to the Shulchan Aruch. And here he goes. Just take a look at the first source, and in the bold specifically. In dealing with all the things that we eat, all the things that we do, the Ramah adds, and we go to a stream to recite the verse, and throw into the depths of the sea all our sins. That is a verse from Micah that we will be reading as part of the Tashlich once we get into the sun. Okay, that is the actual, it's not the earliest source, but it is the source that we ordinarily turn to for the most straightforward halacha. This is the work that we turn to for Jewish law. This is the Shulchan Aruch. This is the gloss of the Ramah of the Ashkenazic authority. So we find that this is the custom. Where does he get this custom from? One of the places that he quotes, one of the earlier sources, and really the earliest source at least to mention that you need to see fish. This comes from Sefer HaMinhagim of Rav Isaac Terna. The Sefer HaMinhagim is one of these sources that predates the Shulchan Aruch by a couple of centuries. Rav Isaac Terna was active in the late 14th century. This is a very, very early work of Jewish custom, Jewish law. And what he says, as far as actually performing the custom of Tashlich, the ceremony of Tashlich, he says, it is our custom to go to a stream and say, return, be merciful upon us, and to see live fish. Something that the Ramah doesn't quote. But to see live fish, a source earlier than the Shulchan Aruch, already points out that it is part of the practice, part of the ceremony, to actually see live fish. Why? Do you need to see live fish? You should see live fish, and we'll try to. Why? I love that echo. Why? It's great. Why do you need to see live fish? So just think back.
Dead fish are a bad omen.
It's true. Then you're really sleeping with the fishes. Why do we want to see live fish? Think back to last week. What we pointed out last week are two basic approaches to all of these signs, all of these symbols. Why do we do them?
Approach number one, popularized and spoken about by Rabbi Menachem Meiri, is that it is a means of inspiration. What we are trying to do is we're trying to inspire ourselves with the foods that we eat and with the kaparos that we perform. You swing a live chicken around your head. You wave. You don't swing. You wave a live chicken around your neck. And that live chicken you see get slaughtered, you see get shechted, it's so powerful. It's so moving. The notion that vulnerable, life is short, maybe it ought to be me up on the altar, and instead I'm passing it on to the chicken, how that inspires us to become better. The other approach, this was spoken about more heavily by the Chayei Adam, the other approach is that what we're actually trying to do is bring down some of God's decrees into physical manifestation here on this earth. If there is the chance that God has already set a good positive decree in motion, we want to get it started. Because once it's gotten started, the rest is a fait accompli. It's hard to see with the sun. Yeah, our contact. No problem. What we try to do is we try to bring it down and make it a reality. Once it's started, it's going to finish. It's our job to do everything we can to be good, to be better, and to make the full-blown realization of that decree that come that much more quickly. Keep those two approaches in mind as we see the next couple of sources, and that'll be that. This comes from the Darkei Moshe, this next one. The Darkei Moshe is Rav Moshe Isserles. Before writing his comments on the Shulchan Aruch, he authored a much lengthier commentary known as the Darkei Moshe on a previous halachic encyclopedia known as the Arba Turim. So here, he is a bit more verbose, and he mentions the notion of fish that he doesn't quote when it comes to the Shulchan Aruch. He writes, "But the Sefer Minhagim, which is the source that we just saw, adds that we should see live fish." Why do we do that? "And it is possible that this is for an omen, that the evil eye not rule over us, and that we should be fruitful and multiply as fish." Now, these are both items that the Gemara actually speaks about. When we say in Hamalach HaGoel, the blessing that is given to the children of Joseph by Jacob, back in the Bible, at the end of Genesis. True. We say, V'yidgu larov, right? And they should become very, very abundant. But the notion of V'yidgu etymologically related to dog, related to fish. So the Gemara questions, what's the bracha? Right? Does he want them to sleep with the fishes? What's the blessing? You should be like a fish. It's like something you'd hear out of Anatevka. Right? Great! Ah, I should be like a fish. Wonderful. What's the idea of being like a fish? These two ideas. That the fish swim underneath the ocean. They are protected from the evil eye without getting into what the evil eye is exactly. It's time for another class on that. We'll have to do another class on the evil eye. Some of the fish still survived. And we should also be fruitful and multiply as fish, right? Fish, caviar, right? Tons and tons of eggs that are just shot out and then they all hatch. Wonderful. Which of the two does this sound more like? What kind of approach to the custom and the omens? What does this sound like? Is this just tying into some kind of decree? Or is this a method of inspiration? Inspiration? I actually think the exact opposite. I set you up. I had to read the second source before we really did it. When you see the second source, you'll see that we are very, very clear that it's meant to be a method of reflection. We'll get there. We'll get there and then we'll come back. It wasn't fair. I set everyone up. All right? Next source. That's number one. Number one is the fish. We should be like the fish. We should be like the fish. The evil eye shouldn't rule over us. We should be fruitful and we should multiply. Next. This is the glosses that we find on that original Sefer Minhagim, on the actual writings of Rav Isaac Turner. This was another commentary that was appended to it. So he writes, "Lizkor sha'anu mishulim kidagim chayim halalu," that we are just like these live fish. How are we like the live fish? "Shene'echazim pit'om b'mitsuda," that are suddenly ensnared in a net. What does that mean? How are we like live fish that are suddenly ensnared in a net? The Levush, Rav Mordechai Yaffa, explains a little bit more. To remember that we're like these live fish who are ensnared suddenly in a net. So, yeah, like us, in what way? "So are we ensnared," this is frightening, "in the abyss of death and judgment." It's time for the echo. "The abyss of death and judgment." Love that echo. I couldn't have planned on that. And in doing so, we will contemplate repentance more. Very critical. We don't find that in the previous source. So the Levush says that the idea is contemplation. There's something we can do about it. We find ourselves trapped in this abyss, death, judgment. God is judging us. It's a scary time. So he says, look at the fish and recognize that's where we are. The same way that a fish can suddenly be trapped up in a net. You're just swimming and going about life in a regular way. Everything's fine. Everything's dandy. But recognize that we are vulnerable. Recognize that it's not so simple. Recognize that it's not just a matter of going about life and swimming around as we please. There is a judgment. There's a reckoning. All that is really critical, and we should contemplate that because it motivates us to be better. It doesn't mean that we just get depressed, but it motivates us to be better. Final source, and this is the Eliyazuta, who is it's like we're looking at commentary. This is the stratification of all of these different comments. A commentary on the Levush that we saw previously. Some say that we seek live fish because fish have no eyelids. Gross. And their eyes are always open. Naturally. Why? This is to arouse us to contemplate the open eye above. God's watching. Don't just... He just made a call. It was a direct call. It's to contemplate what the fish are like. Don't just swim around. Don't just live life like there's no cause for care or concern. The open eye is meant to remind us that God is always watching. God's up above. It sort of dovetails with the exact comment of the Levush, that we can very easily become ensnared in a net. If you look back over the course of the year for the community, don't we know that all too well? How fragile life is. There are people who are here with us at Tashlich last year who are not here anymore. How frighteningly fragile life is. How easily we can become ensnared in that net. Not to make us depressed, not to just hang our heads and say, so what's the point? But to contemplate. Life is short. How easily those fish become trapped in the net. We're really no different. We need to make each and every single day count. We need to do what we can while we're still given this very, very precious gift of time. If you go back to that Darkei Moshe then, notice, first of all, that he says nothing about contemplation. And also, I would suggest that these aren't things that we can contemplate and really do anything about. These are just blessings. We hope for these blessings. Be fruitful and multiply. We do what we can, but it's not really in our ability to be fruitful and multiply. It's a blessing from God. He says that we should hope for this omen, that the evil eye not rule over us. There isn't a whole lot that we can do about that. We can live less ostentatiously, perhaps. We cannot bring it upon ourselves. But it's this blessing that exists out there, and just as Jacob blessed his grandchildren, we hope for that same blessing. And as we mentioned last week, both routes are important. First of all, aren't there blessings and ideas and thoughts that we have even in our own minds that are just sort of floating around out there? It's not enough. It's not enough to just have thoughts and ideas and wonderful well wishes and blessings that are floating around, whether in the divine intellect or in our own minds. You've got to do something about it. On Kol Nidre night, we spoke about starting small. This is starting small. Take an hour out of your time and come to a pond and reflect and think. Good for you for coming. Good for you for starting small. These things can't just float around up there. We have to put them into practice. It's a beginning. It's the start of something. It's an action. Maybe it's not so small. We're shivering out here. But good for you anyway. And then the other notion that we see here again in Tashlich and that we saw last week, the idea is that we are meant to be able to find introspection, to find contemplation anywhere and everywhere. The idea that something so simple as a fish in a pond can serve as an impetus for thoughts of tshuva, for thoughts of returning to God, of being better to one another. The notion that there is an eye up there that is always watching. Whether we're behind closed doors, when we think no one else may be there, someone is always watching. Someone is watching the thoughts as they generate in our own minds. And the notion that those fish can so easily become ensnared, so can we. How fragile life is, and while we have this gift of time for even just a few more moments, what we can do with those few moments. Make the most of them, and may it be a happy and sweet year for all of us. Before everyone is dismissed, we have an important word, literally, actually, an important word from our sponsor. Very important word from our sponsor. Phyllis, can you take the floor?